growing was like. At one point, I remember spending all.
Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable. Running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before me, slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Christopher Gigs. Cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Bullshit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see? Ooh.
You're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Turn it to love has your sea.
Let the peace shake from the place. Friday. It's Monday. Thank you for tuning in. You could be watching the Monday Night Football for all you fantasy football players or all you Baltimore Ravens fans. Shouts out to Art Modell, who passed away. Or all you Cincinnati people out there. I'm quite sure that y'all could be watching the game, but you're listening to me, and I appreciate that. Well, today is like open lines, you know, or open mic Monday, we like to call it. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I want to deal with. First of all, I want to give a convention update, basically get everybody's opinion on both conventions, how they felt about them. But here in Chicago, we are going through this massive teacher strike. So I want to have some representatives from the union and from the administration, ROM's administration, if you come on my show, to come out and talk about the issues that are plaguing the city and why are the teachers striking here. And then there was, over the weekend, a case of who shot Little JoJo. Who is Little JoJo? He's a little rapper here in Chicago, but that passed away, that got shot. And not to mock my man's death, but you know how Biggie says it, you're nobody till somebody kills you. Well, anyway, this led to my man, Lupe Fiasco, just deciding to quit. Now, we're going, you know, that was something I wanted to deal with also. So it's a whole bunch of topics I wanted to talk to you all about. I'm waiting on some calls from people from the CPS union to give me a proper understanding of what is happening. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run some commercial breaks and see if I can get them people back on the line, because I just lost them earlier. Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825. Those are the things I want to talk about, everybody, and I'll see you in 3 minutes 30 seconds.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and homeownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors program. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a National Network voiceover talent.
You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Yeah, it's Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio, 347-838-9825 is the number. Again, it's a range of topics we're trying to deal with, and I'm trying to get some people back on for that I had for to talk about teachers, but we're going to do this Chief Keef deal. Matter of fact, let me give you what Chief Keef is known for. Here's a remix. I got one of his remix that he did with my man Kanye. And so let me play that for you to give you an example of Lil Chief Keef. Kind of like the song, really, myself. But it's very interesting. But let me go ahead and play a cut that he's really famous for right now.
Fraud niggas, y'all niggas, that's that shit I don't like. Yo shit, make believe, rapping about my own life. That's Rand, nigga. Woo. Ric Flair, nigga. Woo. The power's in my head, nigga. Woo. I get this beat to tear, nigga. Soho, a Tribeca. Three hoes, trifecta. Dope money, coke money. Shoe blow, my wife better. My pen's better. You don't write. Trendsetter, you clone like. Pay homage or K's vomit. Ungrateful niggas I don't like. Rah.
A fuck, nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
A snitch, nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Bang, bang.
Chicago,
smile in my face is what I don't like. They see a whole sound, that's a sound bite. The media crucify me like they did Christ. They wanna find me not breathing like they found Mike. A girl will run her mouth only out of spite. But I never hit a woman, never in my life. I was in too deep like Makai Fife. And that pussy so deep I could've drowned twice. Rose gold, Jesus peace with the brown ice. Eating good vegetarian with the brown rice. Girls kissing girls, cause it's hot, right? But unless they use a strap on, then they not dyke. They ain't about that life, they ain't about that life. We hanging out the window, it's about to be a Suge night. Free bump, Jay, real nigga for life. Shout out to Dead Rose, man, that nigga nice. Shout out to L.E.P., J. Boogie, right? Chief, King Louie, this is Shy, right? Right?
A fuck, nigga, that's that shit I don't like. A snitch, nigga, that's that shit I don't like. A bitch, nigga, that's that shit I don't like. Sneak, that's that shit I don't like. Like, no.
you're not one and the same. Nigga, I'm fucking insane. Fuck is you saying? Yo ass been doing the same. Shit, not doing what you saying. Dang, I saw your old bitch, she was fucking the lane. Turn one hoe to a train. Blow, bling. My niggas holding that pain. I just hope you been praying. Bang, bang. Riding for my niggas and a full life. High class, I'm just surrounded by these low lives. And I run this bitch like it's no light. Going hard the whole night, cause I ain't going back to my old life, I promise.
A fuck nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Nah.
A snitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Nah.
A bitch nigga, that's that shit I don't like.
Nah.
Sneak, that's not that, that shit I don't like.
I done sold purple, I done sold white, running out of work, that's that shit I don't like, she never let me hit,
nah.
She gave me dome twice, she blowing up my phone, that's that bitch I don't like, nah, jean jacket with the sleeves cut, put the pressure on them just when they think that I eased up, 30 for the cube, another 30 for the Jesus, believe in ourselves when nobody else believed us.
Jimmy's Underground Radio Network 347-838-9825. We're trying to I guess we're not going to be able to do the teacher thing today. I mean, so we're going to do is probably just try to get this Chief Keef Boaz, Chief Keef, Lil JoJo, and Loopy, Lil Beef. Why don't you, let's get our listeners up on the subject of so far. Why don't you get the little paper and read the little article right there we got going on.
Chicago Stands, this is called Chief Keef and Lil JoJo, a rap crew straight out of Inglewood. This is from the Chicago Sun-Times. Chicago stands at the center of gangster rap revival that's coming straight out of Inglewood. The difference between the new breed of thuggish Southside rappers signing big money record deals and gangster rappers that made Compton, California infamous in the late 80s could lie in the deadly details. While the infamous rap group NWA used streetwise symbolism to rhyme based on a true-to-life tale of the anti-police shoot 'em up gang life in Rodney King-era Los Angeles ghetto, inspired Southside teen rappers' disc, real murderous street gangs and the violent hip-hop answers they hoped would lead to lucrative record deal. And Tuesday night, that may have gotten one of them killed. Joseph Little JoJo Coleman was gunned down while riding on the back of a pal's bicycle in Inglewood, about a block from where Oscar winner Jennifer Hudson grew up, and her family was slain in 2008. The 18-year-old first-ever rap song, 300K, was an attack on a rival, Little Dirk, and it's also called out a violent street gang. The rap posted on YouTube included a line saying, "These niggas claim 300, but we BDK." Chicago police said 300 is a street slang for Black Disciple Gang, and BDK means Black Disciple Killers, is a taunt form from a rival who wants to kill members of the gang. But Joseph Coleman, half-brother John Coleman, said the rap was meant to target rival rappers, not the Black Disciples. That BDK shit was for the opposing rap team, John Coleman said, referring to an emerging crew of Chicago rappers, Chief Keef, Lil Durk, and their rap associates. The song was Lil Durk diss. It was more music, killing them with rhymes. The YouTube video shows Coleman and others dancing with what appeared to be automatic weapons, has been watched for nearly 800,000 times. Now Chicago police are investigating the Twitter account of Chief Keef, a 17-year-old Southsider, who this summer signed a deal with Interscope Records. He weighed in. "It's sad because that nigga JoJo wanted to be like us, LMAO, unquote. LMAO stands for laughing my ass off. That mocking tweet unleashed a backlash of online outrage against Chief Keef that could threaten the teen's rapper's record deal, sources close to Interscope told the Sun-Times. On Saturday, several tweets issued from Chief Keef's account said he had nothing to do with the murder and said he was praying for JoJo's family. They also claimed his Twitter account had been hacked and said he was going to stay off Twitter until his album dropped in late November. "I didn't know him, but he was young just like me. I can assume everyone that I had nothing to do with this tragedy, though my Twitter account was hacked," he said. Another end, "My prayers go out to JoJo's family for their loss. Police have not named any suspect in Coleman's drive-by slaying, and no one was in custody late Saturday. Police also connected the rap beef to Coleman's murder. or said if Coleman and his rivals were even in the gang. But somewhere in the fractured gang turf that make up Inglewood, the thin line separating the art of gangster rap and the reality of gangster life got blurred, and Little JoJo ended up in the Cook County morgue. Trial was pending. The rumor of a bounty on his head circulated in the street. Even Coleman's mom heard about it. The tragic outcome seemed inevitable to some. Coleman, who grew up near 69th and Parnell in Inglewood, boasted online rap of having allegiance to the Brick Squad, a fraction of the Gangster Disciple. Last year, he was arrested on a gun charge, one he was due to stand trial for in 2 weeks. Police said he dropped a .45 caliber pistol while running from them during a raid of a party attended by members of the Gangster Disciple, rivals to the Black Disciples. Chief Keef also make apparent reference to gang life in his music and social media posts. Some of Chief Keef's songs and tweets include references to 300 and Lam Ron. That's normal, as in Inglewood's Normal Avenue, spelled backwards. Lam Ron is a reference to Inglewood's faction of the Black Disciples, police said. Chief Keef, who performed at Lollapalooza this summer, once spent time under house arrest at his grandmother's house after allegedly pointing a gun at police officers late last year. It was during that time the homemade video for the song I Don't Like started getting national attention on YouTube, and it nearly has nearly 14 million YouTube views. Kanye remix of the song featuring Chief Keef has more than 17 million views. Coleman, trying to make a name for himself, began taunting Chief Keef's buddies on his own raps. Coleman knew Chief Keef's allies, Little Durk and Little Reese, both signed to Def Jam Records from high school. For months, Coleman taunted them in video and online posts. On the day he was killed, Coleman had made a video of what purported to be his street confrontation with Little Reese. Someone on the YouTube video is heard saying, I'ma kill you. In the days after Coleman's killing, police searched for his killer, someone who fired 6 or 7 shots from the back of a tan Ford Taurus that was riding low in the back. They targeted known street gangs, questioned potential witnesses, and searched suspicious cars for guns, the source said. No one is telling who did it, police source said. Chief Keef's manager, who wasn't aware of the tweet, at the time, said, was being told by Saturday night he believed it was just a mistake made by a kid and did not mean anything personally. Since then, Chief Keef and his manager has remained silent. But Chief Keef's maternal grandmother had plenty to say about the rap star who leaves her house. Who lives in our house, excuse me. He spends a lot of time at home. Chief Keef boasting rhymes about shooting guns, slaying rivals, and silencing snitches. But his granny, Margaret Carter, paints a different picture of her gangster rapper grandbaby. The real Chief Keef, whose given name is Keef Kozer, doesn't leave the house much. He spends much of his time on the internet and plays his music too loud. He has too many girls in his bedroom and can't spend a penny of his big money record deal with Interscope without permission until he turns 21, the rapper grandmother told the Chicago Sun-Times. Let's be real. I'm always saying, cut that down, turn that off, that's too loud when he's doing all that music, Carter said. And the girls in his thing. Girls, girls, girls. I get sick of all them girls. All Keef Chief's bad boy blusters, but the police investigation into his gang ties regarding Coleman murder ain't nothing but bull stuff, Carter said. How can he be doing all that gang stuff when he's always home? When he's not at home, he's out of town with me or his uncle. And where's that gang at? In my kitchen? In my basement? Where they at? In my refrigerator where he go all the time? Carter says, referring to his grandson's regular routine around the house. Look, I'm Granny. That's what they call me, and I don't grow up with none of this. I didn't grow up with none of this mess. That don't go in my God-blanking house. In fact, Carter and Chief Keef use his rap star status to steer his older cousin away from thug life. He says, you don't have to do what you're doing, Carter said. And they say my little cousin pulled out of the street. And Granny says she always been tough on her grandson, who she said got kicked out of school for saying something stupid. I be on his ass all the time. I'm on his ass now, she said. I tell him things will not go right if you don't do right. Carter says she believed the rapper grandson learned a valuable lesson while on house arrest for the gun charge, a 2 month stint when he recorded the video that ultimately led to a record deal. I said, look at what you've done now. Now they call your life. You got to do what they say, Carter said. Don't let no one call your life. As for the online backlash against Chief Keef and his tweeting following Coleman's killer, that's just jealousy of a little dark-skinned, ugly boy and how smart he has come up with all of this, said Carter, the grandmother. And the 62-year-old who also cares for Chief Keith's 13-year-old sister isn't worried about his safety. I ain't worried. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. Every time he leaves the door, I ask the Lord to cover him with his blood. Rap what he knew. Little JoJo Coleman lived a thug life he rapped about. Sort of, says both his half-brother and his producer. Most of the stories that he's telling his music was reality. Truth. Some about gun violence wasn't real, says Smiles, a rap artist and producer from Inglewood. Catch them over a stretcher, that's exaggerated. It was took from reality and painted different. It was based on a true story. Coleman grew up just blocks away from where he was murdered. His half-brother was just 2 months his senior. John Coleman grew up in the suburbs but remained close to the inspiring rapper. We got the same dad, but he got locked up when I was 8 months. Me and JoJo called each other twins from the start, and my mom always picked him up on weekends so we can be together. He was definitely lucky to move to the suburbs. Before he became little JoJo, Joseph Coleman spent a semester at Buffalo Grove High School last year. He thought it was boring, but liked not worrying about violence. Then something happened when his family had to go back, said his half-brother. John Coleman said that was with little JoJo. He was with little JoJo the day he died in the car during the videotape confrontation with rival rapper. I'm fucked up, man, he said. That was my blood. Now John Coleman said he's getting threats on social network, but he's not worried about his safety. God's going to let it play out how it's going to go. I'm not changing my life for this shit. Smile said little JoJo was trying to get fame. The fame Little Keith and his crew attained. And he knew that man trying to catch the eye of a record label by giving them what they wanted. It was a character and just that image that he was going to give because that image was Hot Smile said. We're not from the North Side. We're not from the nice community. We're from the hood. We're from where motherfuckers are hungry and ain't got shit. This is a quote from the guy. And it's a matter of whether you're a nigga that you eat or don't. The nigga that eat do negative things to get it. Rap is a reflection of what happens. But John Coleman said his half-brother was involved in street lights in Inglewood. He talked about seeing rival gangs drive through the neighborhood shooting warning shots from the car window. And part of the reason he wrote 300K was to call out rappers getting record deals who he thought were frauds. John Coleman said he wanted to get rich doing it, but didn't consider the risk anger in the Black Disciples. Didn't street gang in general was a bad idea, Chicago top cop said. I don't think it's smart, Superintendent Gary McCarthy said. That's all the part of the problem. They go back and forth, tit for tat, on social media and these kids. Does he's talking about violence and really taunting people. Record deal with Dr. Dre. Sources close to Interscope Records, the label of Dr. Dre, a founding member of NWA and a gangster rap legend, said Chief Keef got his record deal because people want to hear good music. But record label bosses won't tolerate gang affiliation or bloodshed or another East Coast versus West Coast feud, blamed for taking the lives of Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac Shakur, the most famous rap feud of all. Still a broad spectrum of people, white kids and aged kids in the suburbs who don't live in that world listen to it. It resonates with them from the standpoint of perspective. Kids making music with somewhat firsthand knowledge of what life is like, said the industry source. And most often, the folks who create it are very troubled. They've gone through strife in their life, and expression of that strife is powerful. And that sells records. But here comes the point where too much reality is a bad thing. In this case, all of a sudden, he signed a deal and started tweeting about gang-related stuff and all the other stuff that's going on in sources. It's like, what do we really have now, and what are we really into? And what does that leave for Chicago? The tension is bad for Chicago, he says. Unfortunately, the success we have isn't reported at the same rate as its failures. Shooting is catchy, flashy, but not good in all impressions of the city. What is being missed is we enjoy a crime rate low going back 30 years. The gangs we've dealing with are violent, but we're going in the right direction for the last 5 months. And what's killing me is the perception. That's it.
All right, Ebony, I appreciate that right here. This is Jimmy's Underground Radio, 347-838-9251. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back with our callers. Please still hold on. I see 330 and U712. Hold on for 1 second.
And now, the mellow sounds of Jimmy Irvin.
I do no harm. I never meant to make you cry. You were the only one I
can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit man, pop the bass, pop it out of bebop, pop the bass, yeah, bass man, come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit man, sound good, yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Murder, and they educated me on what was going on. You know, I knew who the Chief Keef kid was because last year the kids used to always bring his name up. You know, they're about, I want to say, they're between five Chicago rap individuals or groups that are really are on the radar to kind of blow up with the Chicago, well, we can put this in quotations, rap scene or whatever. But I think that they are intentionally being eyed because their music is a replica of, like, the Compton 90s music. That whole gangster rap is almost like a continuation of the destructive music that was intentionally inundated in our communities from that time period. It's almost like they want to replay that even further, make our kids these little ghetto robots that don't think about anything except for a thousand different ways to kill someone or getting high, smoking weed, or drinking the syrup in the Sprite bottle and those kind of idiotic things. So, yeah, I was familiar with the Chief Keef guy. In terms of the JoJo, what's really ironic about a lot of these kids, they're not very intelligent because they put all their business on these social networks. I mean, they post pictures of themselves with guns. They are in these music videos with all kind of weaponry. And, I mean, it's just really idiotic. It's like if I'm a police officer or a detective, they're making my job easy.
Right.
They're labeling themselves. You know, immediately when a kid is killed, if they're labeled as a gangbanger, it's almost like it's not important that they got killed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like these children are not understanding how they are typecasting themselves and essentially making themselves almost throwaways. You know, because they're becoming statistics.
Yeah, I agree. Let me bring another Chicago embassy plan in D.C. and bring my girl D.C. Dana here. Dana from D.C. right now, who should reside over there in the area. Dana, you in live. Now, what do you think about the situation, this Chief Keef, little JoJo, Lupe Fiasco situation?
You know, I think it's sad. It's just another way the killing of our young black men and killing is just glorified in the African-American community, and it's become so acceptable now that when someone dies, it's no longer a tragedy. Instead, it's used as a joke on the internet. You know, and it's really sad because these guys had talent, and they could have gone somewhere, but again, someone's life was snuffed out before it should have been. And until this problem with gangs and gang violence can be contained, we're going to continue to see things like this where innocent people are lost and people that promote those kinds of violence, that kind of violence within our community. It's very sad.
I agree. Someone, and I want y'all to check this out. I want all y'all to just bear with me for a minute. Someone sent me something, a little interview, a little soliloquy that they put on the situation. Let me play this little interview about Chiki, the JoJo, and the Lupe Fiasco, so to catch everybody up on what's going on so they know what we can talk about. It's about 10 minutes long. Just bear with me.
What's up, world? It's your girl, T. Okay, so if you guys have not heard, a few days ago, Lupe Fiasco, who is one of my favorite rap artists, took to his Twitter page to basically announce that he was leaving rap. It's so much nonsense that's going on out here, if you guys are not aware. It's a bunch of mess going on in the Chicago rap scene right now. So I'm going to break some of it down to you guys because a lot of people have been asking me what is going on, who is Lil JoJo, who is, you know, Chief Keef. So I'm going to try and break down everything in this video. A lot of this stuff with Lupe started 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, he had did an interview with Sway, and basically they were going back to his old neighborhood in Chicago, and, you know, it's a video from like 6 years ago, and basically Lupe broke down and started crying. And
wow, man, that brought tears to your eyes. What was it about that you know, just triggered this emotion from you? Back.
There's some of them dudes are dead.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing changed.
Nothing for the better.
Nah. You know. We got CBS. Some of the kids ain't gonna make it out of it. Some of the kids ain't gonna make it out of it. You know? And just feel, you know, you feel so helpless. Like, oh, that's me talking to me 6 years ago, you know? And that stuff is the same. You just feel like, you feel hopeless. No. Your father was right. Your mother was right. It was like, yo, you got to get out. Stick to what you know and get out. Because if you stay here, you're going to die. And you're not going to die for anything heroic. You're not going to die for anything meaningful. You know, you're going to die for something that is worthless. Nobody's going to remember your name. And, you know, that to see that it's so real, you know, it hurts, bro. Uh-huh. You know, I ain't gonna front. It hurts. It hurts a lot.
It had me in tears because I know how he feels when you are gone for so long and you go back to your old neighborhood and things didn't change. People who were once there are dead. And I had wrote this comment on that video 3 weeks ago. I'm gonna show y'all the comment that I wrote. So as most of y'all know, I've been a Lupe Fiasco fan forever. And I understood everything he was saying in that Sway video and why he broke down crying the way he did. And so basically, fast forward a week after, this is probably like 2 weeks after he made that video with Sway, he was on the AJ and Angel Baby show in Chicago, and they asked him the following.
Seems like Chicago now really has a new talent of MCs, a new pool that's, you know, that's coming out, that's emerging. You got your Chief Keef, Rocky Fresh. What do you feel like? Is it a new Chicago that's on the scene, or do you feel like it's something that's always been there, but it's just never had that light been shed on?
I don't know too much about Rocky Fresh. I kind of heard him here and there, but I heard he just signed an MMG. And I just heard Chief Keef just signed an Interscope.
Right.
Chief Keef scares me. Not him, specifically, but just the culture that he represents, specifically in Chicago. And I don't speak this about any other city because I'm not from there. But, like, my family lives in Chicago. So my nephews and my cousins and my friends and my people, they all in those hoods that he represents. When you drive through Chicago, the hoodlums, I don't want to call Chief Keef a hoodlum, but the hoodlums, the gangsters and the ones you see killing each other and the murder rate in Chicago is skyrocketing, and you see who's doing it and perpetrating it. They all look like Chief Keef. My dreads. And it's so visceral. When I seen him, I was like, oh my God, he looks just like Chicago. And then he looks like my nephew. You know, and he could be any kid on the street. And then to hear the things that he raps about specifically, you know, with comparing it to, you open up the newspaper and there's 22 shootings this weekend. You know, and then the next day there's 3, the next day there's 4, and you know who's doing it. It scares me. You know, it scares me to see that, you know, that it scares me.
Right.
It's not fully thought out. It's not, my explanation of it isn't fully thought out, but just the initial feeling of it scares me because it's, and I said this when I was on the radio in Chicago at every station we did. It was just kind of like, you know, I understand where he's coming from, and I understand his struggle, and I'm not at him. I'm at where he came from, and that places like that still exist, and they incubate that mentality, and incubate that whole thing, and that incubator is working overtime right now, you know, and it's just sending these kids to slaughter. And so, you know, truthfully, that portion of it scares me, but it's always been there. We've always had that in hip-hop. We've always had that in culture.
Well, everything Lupe Fiasco said has come to pass. This past Tuesday, September 4th, there was a young up-and-coming rapper. He basically made YouTube videos. His name was Little JoJo, Joseph Coleman. The cutest little kid. I mean, just adorable. Very, very handsome. And this kid made these videos dissing Chief Keef. Little Reese and a bunch of the dudes from Chicago, from the 300.
Good morning, Robin. A war of words in the city's hip-hop community has escalated. The victim, 18-year-old Joseph Coleman, known as Little JoJo, he was shot by a drive-by shooter while riding his bike, rather, in Inglewood. Little JoJo released this music video online that mocked rapper Little Reese, associated with the biggest star in the city's hip-hop scene, Chief Keef. JoJo's song, 300K, targeted Reese, Keef, and their 300 squad. Keef responded to JoJo's death on Twitter yesterday. He made light of it and wrote he was laughing. Police are reportedly investigating a connection between his comments and the death. Keef also threatened on Twitter to attack another Chicago hip-hop star, Lupe Fiasco. Fiasco had recently said those responsible for murders in the city all look like Chief Keef. Keef had recently been under house arrest for a gun charge. His raps at Lollapalooza last month contained the sound of gunshots. Another negative fallout from his 200,000 Twitter followers. Keef is claiming his Twitter account had been hacked.
So basically, there's this new music scene in Chicago called drill music. It's been going on for a while, but it's now becoming more mainstream because these big record companies are now going to Chicago to get these artists off of the street. And basically, drill music is like hood music. They talk about sex, drugs, killing people. But it's not 18 to 25-year-olds. It's young kids. It's kids who are 13, like Little Miles. Females getting into the drill music like Sasha Gohart, Shady, Katie Got Them Bands.
All my niggas rolling. They be clipping them hollow pills. Have his ass sitting there rolling. Stop. Rolling off a pill. Feel. Pussy better chill. Chill. My niggas in the field. Feel. Feel like get killed. Feel. Pancake ass niggas. I keep this shit real. Real. 40 head is faded. BB chew his ass like a grill. Y'all niggas ain't real. Nah. Lame niggas get killed. Feel. I'm here for real. For real. I'm doing this for real. Real. I'm finna get on. I'm finna do another song. Gone. Bitch calling my phone. Gone. Leave me alone.
So I know about a lot of this music just because a lot of my subscribers send me videos, and I'm young and I have a lot of nieces and nephews who are just not too much younger than me. You know a lot about the music because they listen to drill music. You know what I'm saying? We're in Minneapolis. We're not too far from Chicago. Damn near all my kids' families from Chicago. The projects, all that stuff. So I know a lot about how bad Chicago is, how bad it's gotten. We hear stuff all the time. I mean, it's just a shame how, like, every weekend, it's never one, like I said on Facebook, it's never one or two people getting shot. It's literally 25 people getting shot, and out of the 25 people, like, 10 people dying. You know, it's just crazy. It's to the point in Chicago where people will just kill you just to say that they killed somebody, just to say they took a life. And what has me bothered, why I'm just not tripping off this whole Democratic bullshit, is that, you know, while Obama can get on TV and say that Trayvon Martin looks like his son, and that's fine and dandy, but Obama has yet to say anything about these killings going on in Chicago. I think I said more about the shit going on in Chicago in my videos than Obama ever has. You know, this summer has been one of the worst summers. The murder rate has gone up upwards of 50%, people are saying. Just between the month of June to August, there have been over 158 kids dead. You know, and this is not getting national coverage because, you know, this is just expected in Chicago. You know, back in 2008, we all made the videos about Darren Albert getting beat and killed on, you know, on the cell phone cam. And there was all this outrage and the politicians came out. They said they was going to do this, this, and that. And nothing has happened since the whole Darren Albert situation. It's just another normal day in Chicago. So I understand why Lupe came out and said what he said. I understand why he said that this music is poisoning the youth. You know, I don't think he was dissing Chief Keef at all. I looked at it like Lupe was saying he was coming from a big homie point of view, like basically telling him, like, look, this lifestyle, this stuff that y'all talking about, it's not worth it. All it's going to get you is either going to jail for a long prison sentence or a 60 under, you know. And instead of taking it as an OG just telling them something, Chief Keef took to his Twitter page and basically said this to Lupe. You know, I don't, these kids, I guess they all grew up together in the neighborhood. The media is trying to make it look like it's a big rap beef. I think it's more of a gang thing than it is a rap beef. Because they never even made videos or music even responding to Lil Jojo. I don't think that you can get on camera and make videos disrespecting the entire gang. They take their gang culture in Chicago seriously, you know, and it breaks my heart that this kid was trying to find a way out the hood, hoping he would get seen by, you know, Interscope or Def Jam, and he thought the way to do it was to make diss records at an entire gang. And that just wasn't the way.
These niggas claim 300, but we BDJ. We on the block, down there every day. Posted with them 30 fucking trays. Yo, bitch, y'all on me all up in my face. I told that bitch, get back, I need some fucking space. You ain't with the shit, so stop the fucking flexing. Fuck, trying to wipe a bitch, they out of stretch.
The situation has just had my heart heavy. You know, because it's just ridiculous. I mean, not even a year ago, I had lost my kid's big cousin. He was killed, you know, due to gang violence and a bunch of other stuff. And it's just like, when is this going to end? You know, when I was in high school, when I was a junior, senior, I went to 12 funerals, you know, and it's just like the same thing. It don't matter if it's Chicago, if it's Minneapolis, if it's Philadelphia. And we give these cities these crazy names, Chirac, Murderapolis, Philadelphia, Be More Bodies. You know, it's just, it's insane. It's almost like we've just grown accustomed and we just think that the killing is normal. And I just think it breaks my heart to know that kids are not making it past a certain age. The mentality in the hood is messed up. People are having this mentality that you won't make it to see 18. If that's the mentality that we're telling these kids, that they're lucky to make it to be 18, then most of these kids already thinking they're going to die anyway. I think to solve the issue, we have to change the mentality of the people. A lot of people are attacking Chief Keef. They're saying that it's his fault. He's perpetuating this violence, this drill music. I don't really think you can blame one kid. I mean, this music, I mean, the music is not positive, but you can't blame these children. They were raised in an environment, in a gang-infested environment. They were raised, they see this. You know what I'm saying? So many of my family members, my peoples from Chicago, this is the stuff that they saw every day, especially when the projects were still around. You know, they saw killings, dead bodies. The projects were horrible. And when they tore down the projects, it's almost like it kind of just festered all throughout the city now. Because it was cool when they was killing each other in Cabrini Green and in Robert Taylor's and Ida B. Wells. That was cool. But once they tore that down, all those elements are now running rampant through Chicago. And the next generation is just off the hook. They just don't care. But because people are trying to find an answer and why is this happening, I also believe it's because the parents are young. You know, myself included, we're young parents. I have a kid that's about to be 12 years old. I'm still trying to find myself. You know what I'm saying? At 30, I'm still trying to figure out my life and what I want to do and, you know, plus try and raise a kid who's almost as tall as I am, you know, try and steer them in the right direction and then also realize that there's all these outside influences. So it's hard. Chief Keef's mom is 32, and she's a grandmother. You know what I'm saying? So when you're 32, you're still trying to do you. That's still young. She had him at 15. That is still young. So a lot of people are like, well, where are the parents? How are they able to shoot these YouTube videos with guns and gangbanging? Sad part is a lot of them parents are there at the video shoot. A lot of the parents know what these kids are doing. A lot of the parents are teaching these kids this bullshit. A lot of the parents are co-signing with it. So it don't even make no sense to even scream, where's the mom or where's the daddy? A lot of them, if they are involved, the fathers are there right alongside these kids. You know, so the mentality in the community is just horrible. And it's just not Chicago. It's all over the country. You know, and I'm sad that Lupe wants to leave. I'm going to post a few more of the tweets that him and Chief Keef were going back and forth on Twitter saying.
No, well, no, you can't read them. They're too slow. I mean, if you read them all, you read them all. The videos they posted up on our Jimmy's Underground webpage, and catch more. She busting her hair. Go ahead, we're supposed to be can.
Well,
Lupe said, this album will probably be my last. It's been a pleasure to have you. All my fans provide so much love and inspiration for me and my family. He also says, my heart is broken and I see no comfort for it along this path, only more pain.
So the whole thing is sad. You know, I don't want him to leave the music industry. I'm a big Lupe fan, but I understand his heart is heavy. You know, and I feel like that at times, you know, and it's sad because the people who've gotten out the hood who are doing better, it's almost like you have this guilt. You know what I'm saying? You almost feel bad, like, you know, how did I make it out? And how come it wasn't me laying in that coffin? How come I'm here? You know, what's my story to tell? And I think that's what he feels, is like a lot of guilt, because you can't save everybody. You can't take everybody out of Chicago. You can't take everybody out the hood, you know. And it's sad. It's just really, really sad. His music is positive. You know, while it's cool to have the ratchet music, the real music, the Waka Flockas, I also want there to be an equal balance in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? I'm not down for censorship at all, and y'all know that. I feel like people have the right to rap about what they want to rap about, but, again, there should be an equal balance. You know what I'm saying? And people need to realize, like, a lot of this shit is just entertainment. You know what I mean? So it's crazy that a lot of these kids are feeding into that, and that's the mentality. You know, and even the young girls now are out here making real music. The young girls now are going harder than the guys. It doesn't help when you have seasoned rappers like Lil Wayne jumping on that track. You know, now he's on the track with Lil Mouse, talking about smoking people. Then you have Waka Flocka, and you have Kanye, you know, jumping in on Chief Keef songs, Things I Don't Like. Hip-hop artists are now co-signing with this. And when Lupe says something positive, he's like, yo, we really shouldn't be glamorizing this. People want to knock him. You know, it's like anything positive is seen as bad in our community. And anybody speaking the truth, they're a sellout, they're a bitch, they're a punk. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. You know, it's just sad. I'm sad that he wants to leave rap, but I understand it. You know, I hope Lupe does not leave. You know, we need the positivity. There's so much negativity in hip-hop. We need the positivity. We need more positive artists. We need females out here rapping about, you know what I'm saying, not getting ate out, not having their whole team ate out. What the hell is that shit about? I would never understand that. It's like young boys ain't just eating out one girl. They're eating out the whole team. That's like a new thing now. So I need young girls to talk about more than just, you know, getting ate out by a team of dudes or a team of dudes eating out their homegirls, and talk about, you know what I'm saying, having a good head on your shoulder, doing what you got to do, taking care of your babies, you know what I'm saying, even if you have a baby young, still doing the right thing. It's just insane. The music nowadays is just insane. It's so disheartening, you know. But leave a comment. Let me know what you guys think about the whole situation with Lil JoJo, Lil Reese, Chief Keef. What do y'all think about Lupe saying that he wants to quit the rap game? You know, how do y'all feel about that? And what do you guys think about all the killings and all the nonsense that's going on in Chicago, and why Obama has not said anything? He has not said one thing to address the violence in Chicago, and it's very disheartening. And also, what
Hello? Everybody in. Hello, I got you in, Targ. I got you in also, DC, and I got you in also. I cut off a couple of minutes short because I want to also deal with the teachers' strike, too. I have a couple of like seconds left anyway. But no, I'm going as far as Athena. So that's a little history on the situation that was going back and forth. And I guess the lady kind of said it all. I guess she answered a couple of questions I want y'all to answer. But what's your overall take on what the sister had to say?
Well, you know what? I think that even, you know, we're in the midst of a teacher strike here in Chicago, and you know, I'm hearing all kind of different perspectives. We have a lot of support, you know, when we went on a picket this morning. There were a lot of people who are also a part of unions that understand what this major agenda, what's going on with this agenda that's taking place throughout the country to break unions. But in terms of education, there's not a lot being said about parent accountability, and that's very disheartening for me to hear. Like she was saying, the little kid, JoJo, cutest little thing, but the mother was well aware of what he was doing, you know, because, you know, she made a comment about how he wanted to rap and move them out of wherever they were living at or whatever. Now, he was living in Argyle Gardens, if I'm not mistaken, when he was murdered, because they moved away from 69th and Princeton, that little area where he was staying. But he was over there you know, in the middle of the Haven where he was gang banging or whatever. And I just think that, you know, there's too much is being the buck is being passed so much away from the home. You know, why is your son out at 8, 9 o'clock in this school the next day and over in the hood he used to live in, gang banging or whatever? Wrong. Why is all that happening? You know what I'm saying?
Somebody got a hit on your head. Right, you know somebody's looking for your son, and he's out there, and he has a hit on your head. I'm looking at it differently, too. Not differently, though, but...
She heard about it.
Take it serious. What do you think about it, Dana?
You know, I listened to the last video that this kid made prior to dying, prior to being gunned down. And that video was nothing but gang banging promoters.
Did you see all the guns? Did you see all the guns?
He had two Uzis in his
hand. The military.
Exactly.
Military, though, because they're sitting up there flashing gang signs. This little kid had two Uzis in his hands, a big old stack of $100 bills, and here I'm a grown woman with a good job, and I ain't never seen that much money just sitting around, and here it is in the hands of a teenager. You know what I'm saying? And then the words to the song just promoted a gang. And so the problem is this gang violence. You know, these guys are being recruited. They're being recruited into gangs. They're being... they're acting as if they're appreciating these kids. And the only thing that's really happening is these brothers are ending up dead and underground.
Right. They're being trained criminals by these gangs.
But the thing is, this stuff been going on for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even before Chief Keef and Lil JoJo, it's been going on for a long time. And it's like, as far as the music goes, I mean, because I'm a diehard hip-hop fan, and I love music, period. And I'm a diehard hip hop fan, you know, and I like the positive stuff of it. And I love the street. Now, because when it came out, it was just basically for the street, but basically what people was going through, and we was getting stuff off our chest. But it got real crazy once corporate got into it and said, well, you got to do it like this. Otherwise, if you don't do it like this, you're not going to get paid or you're not going to get a record deal. So majority of these cats are not coming from the heart. Or none of that. They're just basically going off what they see, what people telling them, and they're not even living that, you know. And it's crazy that it trickles down to the kids, you know. And they're not, like you say, the parents are not teaching. Because when me and my sister was growing up, my father sat us down on his lap. We would listen to old dusters and things like that. We grew into music, and it's like he told us what to, you know, basically what to listen to, what not to listen to, during that time. And now you got kids looking at music videos at 2 and 3 years old, talking about bees in the trap, all this crazy madness. And it's like, who is checking these kids to do that? Because my kids don't look at that type of stuff. You understand? If I'm playing, I'm playing like old things. And that's how they become old heads and they realize what music is about. Because music is very influential. I don't care what no one says, but it is. You know,
Let me interject this right here politically.
Okay.
Get to the loopy cut right here, guy. I put some loopy up there, only one I got, which was my theme song, my 2010 campaign. But anyway, could we look at it like this, that they're trying to bring Hollywood to Chicago? What I mean by this, in all the three major branches of hip hop, areas that have transpired hip hop on the area. You had New York, then you had the West Coast, then you had the South. Now finally the Midwest was getting its play. And the only way to have some type of worldwide notary if it's somebody in the scene die. Like, you know, let's say a Pimp C, let's say a Shakur, let's say a Biggie. All that does is bring that to the area. But what I'm saying is, if you were here in Chicago right now, everybody put y'all in the blue room, I'll play this cut, and then I'll bring all y'all in. Like the point of the matter I'm saying is that, when you said corporate, that the mayor here, and you can, when I come back, Affinity, you can also bring this in. The mayor here is shaping Chicago into this new area. You see, some people forget that his brother is in the entertainment industry. Like if the mayor would come on TV and say that crime is down except in one area. We got crime contained except in one area. It's as if they're getting everything ready to make money off the pain, sorrow, and suffering of this one area. It's as if they're trying to make Inglewood the new Compton, you know, or so to speak. But before I bring all y'all in to see what's up with that, let me bring some a little positive rap for my man Lupe. This is a theme song for my campaign, everybody.
Today, nobody cares, but tomorrow they will, they will. Today, nobody cares, but oh, tomorrow they will, they will.
They said my future was dark.
My energy, from my energy, I be in outer space, but I got inner peace, so tell my enemies that they can't injure me, I know that irritates, you have my sympathies, well you should protest, yeah you should pick at me, I'm on a losing strike, I'm on a winning streak, I'm out in left field, I'm speaking mentally, but that's a better place than where the benches be, I'm feeling really good, me and my different beat, me and my different drummer, he played the symphonies. That's what got me here, you hearing me? Me on my black man in the future shit. Call me Billy D. See, I'm just forward looking, that's how I really see. See why you Valentine's, I'm thinking Christmas trees. And that's how this could be, even that Mickey D's. Semicolon, close parentheses. Is my last name, never's my first one. You see, I hood a lot, and yeah, I nerd some. Hood's where the heart is, nerd's where the word's from. Don't represent either, because I merged them. It's kids who wanna leave, and I encourage them. Go out and see the world, never return from. Yeah, you don't come back, unless you learn some. And baby girl, what does it matter where your purse from? Your hair done, your nails did, your ass fat, but you're dumb. Mix Melissa Ford with Maya Angelou. Become a top model, and sojourner too. I try to follow this, what Muhammad do. It's such an old soul, inside the sonic you. That's why I'm Ferrari'd up, and I'm conscious too. I don't prophesize, I promise you. From verse 2, but it's the last one. It's almost curfew, it's almost not out. So turn your lights on. Where all my 760s with your brides on? Yeah, they are the ones to keep your eyes on, like how we used to do to keep the house warm. Now, those the type of eyes I not cry from. You see the tears of fire run out my crying songs. Now, the world's shoulders, it's what I'm crying on. The world's fast lane, it's what I'm driving on. What am I driving at? I'm trying to drive at home. I'm in the driver's seat, but you can ride alone. It's never Cyclops, it's never I alone. I'm telling your story wherever I perform. Now if they're looking for me, you tell them I'm gone. Out in the bright light, right where I belong. When I run around,
tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
All right, now, the question I was asking everyone, I'm starting with you, Dana. You know, I'm not Dana, I mean, Tariq. Do you think that that with the rise of this, whatever the rap they want to call it now, you know that they're trying to turn Chicago into the new the capital. You know, here we are, the capital of America. You even got our mayor acknowledging that it's in one area. You got little JoJo Dine a couple of blocks from who else's house, Jennifer Hudson's house. So you're putting it all in a hub of violence. You can even put a Boys in the Hood movie straight out of Inglewood, make it very lucrative. Do you see probably any connection with Rahm Emanuel being the mayor and his brother Ari being in the entertainment industry, probably allowing the situation in Inglewood Esther, so they can probably make some money off this, the pain and suffering of the people over there?
That's exactly what they're doing. Exactly. Man, if they wanted to, they can come up there and clean their whole spot up. Trust me. They're doing that. They're letting it happen, man. And it's been going on for a long time. Back in the day, Inglewood went like that. You know what I'm saying? They letting that stuff happen. And it's crazy. And they just falling right into the trap and people not seeing it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the mayor really allowing it to happen. Now, let me throw Dana in this situation. Now, I'm going to pose the same question I posed my man TK earlier. I mean, just a second ago. Can you see that they're glorifying the situation, even by putting a face on Little JoJo, a no-name rapper who has not had a deal, probably some connection to Waka Flocka. But now, if he had a deal to Waka Flocka, why is Waka Flocka on Chief Keef record? You know what I'm saying? And the, but it's difficult to say, but, Tark, I'll let you answer that question. I'll come back to you. But anyway, Dana, what do you think? Do you think that the mayor is allowing the situation to happen there in Chicago to fester? So, like I said, I ain't trying to be conspiracy theorists or trying to throw some mud out. Tossing out ideas.
Anytime you have a group of people that are not as cared about in society, then when things happen, then, you know, it just kind of is how it is.
The simple fact that there's teenagers with illegal assault weapons posing on videos, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation has no idea about that, or the police has not moved on that, is a very sad scene to see, given the high crime rate here in Chicago. Let me go to a teacher that's on the front lines right here that probably have a little bone to pick with the mayor, even though her union voted for the mayor overwhelmingly and all the Democrats here in the state of Illinois, and they're getting jammed by all the Democrats right here. Athena, what do you think is going on with your mayor?
First of all, let me say, first of all, I did not vote for that little guy. Okay, that month did not get my vote. I saw right through him. Even before he was appointed as Obama's chief of staff 4 years ago, okay? His goal was always to be the mayor of Chicago. It was a calculated decision for him to be the chief of staff under Obama, knowing that he would pull the black and Hispanic vote because he was Obama's chief of staff, simply because of that association. And that's why these people were bamboozled into voting for him. Not me, not for a moment.
Okay, now that is clear, and all the Jimmy guys out there on the network know that Athena did not vote for Rahm, and neither did Jimmy. I went for the quote-unquote crackhead, as they call it. I don't know if that's
right. I did either.
That's what I roll with. But the point I'm saying is, you have Romney now siding with Rahm Emanuel, in this deal, because if you listen to, WLS, you have people saying, go Reagan, go nuclear, fire the teachers. There's plenty of people want those jobs right there. Air conditioning,
I really
all
want
that.
To see him get 29,000 teachers in a few months. I really want to see that.
Never happen. That will never happen.
Right, okay. Well, now I got you online before I got you. Now I'll switch gears because it all plays in the same hand. These little JoJo's, lack of funding in schools and lack of education. What is really the what's the situation going on with the teachers here in Illinois? Now that it's worldwide known, you got Romney stepping in saying, hey, blow the union up, I'm with you, you know. And then you got other people saying, this is just the Wisconsin people mad because Wisconsin done lost. They're going to try to make sure they don't lose here in Chicago. Then you got other people saying, this is the union last stand. Then you got other people saying, it's not about money. Then you got other people saying, it's not a legal strike because they got the money they really want. Then you got other people saying, they gave them the 4% raise they already asked for. They should be satisfied. What's really going on?
Well, yeah. I mean, that was a lot to respond to.
jump ball. Jump ball. Jump ball. I like to see you bounce up and down anyway. Jump ball.
Well, let me say this. The board and the teachers union have been, quote-unquote, negotiating since November 2011. But initially, the board, there was no negotiating on their end. Their end was, this is what you all are going to do. This is what's going to happen. Because Emmanuel went down to Springfield and he got them to pass the SB7 law that says that we need 75% in order to authorize a strike against whatever the board was coming down the pipe in terms of contract negotiations. So he had already told administrators, because there were several administrators that let me know that they don't believe that you all are going to be able to get that 75%. So this is what's going to happen. So the goal is to privatize education and bring in all these charter schools. Education is about to be a major big business. It's about to be major business. So you starve the schools because our schools have been starved for years. Certain schools. Okay, select schools. Only select schools for other people's children get the best of everything, while schools like the one I teach in, we don't even have textbooks to give our students to take home, okay, because we're always being told that there's this deficit, and we are being harmed by that. But, of course, in those other schools, your Whitney Youngs, your Catons, your Northside Prep, they don't have those problems. They even
have a
workout room for students at Northside Prep and Peyton where they can exercise in between classes and things like that. That's something unheard of over here and in most of these Southside schools. So this is a fight. We can take it back to 1954. You know, we're still fighting Brown versus Board. We're fighting to get Brown versus Board of Education implemented in the public school system. And now that this agenda is taking place to bust up the teachers' unions, because we're in the way of them implementing this corporate agenda to privatize all, and this is happening all over the country. This is not just Chicago. This is where we stood. We put the line in the sand, and we're fighting back. But you look at school systems like Detroit, D.C., New Orleans, New York, all of them have been affected grossly by this agenda. We've already, in the last 5 years, we've lost over 7,000 of our members because of these school closings and these turnarounds. So you got the same kids, but you fire everybody in the building, and you bring in a whole new young white staff that really can't handle our kids, and you don't get no results either. You know, with all the charter schools that we have in Chicago, it's about 137 of them now. The mayor wants to have at least 250. With all the charter schools we have in Chicago, the only one that they allowed is Urban Prep. Now, granted, and this is the school where all young black guys are there, and it's a good school system. I'm not saying that it's not a good charter school. But, see, this is the problem that I have with that school. It's like they act as if 100% of the kids came into that class and they graduated 100% of those kids, and all of them were accepted into colleges. That is simply not true. They kick out the problem kids. We get the problem kids at the school I'm in. I got 8 urban prep kids last year that were kicked out for various reasons. Some of them were so small and minute that could never happen in public schools because they tie our hands. We can't kick out a kid because they had a fight. You know, those charter schools can do that, but then they're turning us into dumping grounds and making us fail because of poor test scores so they can come in and say, oh, you're failing. So we're going to turn you around, or we're going to close this school up and open up more charter schools. But these charter and privatized schools, this is big money. This is big money. So what we're fighting is to save the soul of public education in Chicago.
Well, let me ask this question, Lisa. I'm letting everybody get in off, so I'm sorry, Dana and Todd. Can I ask this question, Athena, Troy? Also, Lisa, let me ask you this question, Fina, that since they say there's no money to pay the teachers, has anybody questioned the Maggie Daly Park they're trying to build or the miles and miles of road they're trying to make safe for bikers or the contracts they're trying to give out for the street camera lights, how much it's going to cost to install all those things? Has anybody put that on the table to say there's
the
money right
there? Jimmy, or the $25 million that he's wasting for babysitting services. If the city is broke and you have no money for public education, then how can you just come up with $25 million in a couple of days? You know what I'm saying? We're being lied to. And they have not shown the union one time the books that show how this deficit come about. They refuse to do that. It's like Mitt Romney and his taxes. We're not showing, okay, and that's it and that's all.
We're not jumping on Mitt Romney because he's down with Rahm Emanuel and him and Rahm Emanuel. We're not rolling like that. I'm going to have Tara Stamps. Hold on, I'm going to have Tara Stamps on also tomorrow. She's from the board.
But
also tell a little bit more. I'm after the board. She's from the union.
Let me say this whole education reform thing to privatize education, this is Democrat and Republican agenda, okay? I'm an independent voter. I am not no screaming Democrat on top of the hill because when it comes to money, they are the same people, okay? They are the same people. This is, you have the education secretary who started this mess in Chicago, Arne Duncan, who he was appointed by the president. So believe me, I am not blinding. I am not blinded by that whole
What about Godfather Rahm going to the Illinois State Capitol and getting a 75% strike authorization? And most of those people that got elected to that state supreme, I mean to the state board, I mean the state reps, the state senate, was put in also by the union of the educational board. I mean, as if all that money that y'all put in for that educational power back in those coffers, it's like they turned around and just slapped everybody around, like bam, bam, bam. You know, I know everybody. I'm just trying to say all politics are local for a second. I know everybody want to just wail in on the Romneys and Obama, but here in Chicago, you had, you know, once upon a time, if you had Medicare or public aid cards, you could get free dental. Quinn said no more. Once upon a time, if you're in Chicago, if you died, you had no money, there was a little waiver to get you buried. But you know now, Quinn said no more. And now you got bodies stacked up in Cook County. Then once teachers say they can strike, the mayor comes in and goes down to the Democratic board and says, no, they can't strike, and I'm going to take 2% back from you. And then if you don't like it, I'm going to give you what y'all wanted in the first place, was a 4%, so you're 4% back.
It was 4%, by the way. It was a 4% contracted raise that he took from us. He stole it from us, and he gave that money to the police for NATO.
But how about this? That's interesting. That's interesting. I really didn't realize that. But how about the simple fact that not only do they take that money and use it. That's interesting. So you say the money that he said he did not have, he used it for the money. He took the 2%, he took the 4% off the table, used that money to pay for NATO. But now he's offering y'all the 4% again. Now he's offering the same 4% that was taken from the table from the first place. Is that the same contract that he's offering now? The same contract?
He's not offering 4%. This is what they're offering. They're offering, first of all, let me say this. They are some big liars. They are blatant liars, as a matter of fact. I'm a union delegate, so I've been involved in these negotiations for the whole year, okay? I've been going to the meetings. I've been getting the updates about what the board wants us to do or what they're forcing us to do. And they had been trying to get merit pay put in that contract from the very beginning. Yet, 4 days ago, you had Broussard and Rahm saying, we never had merit pay on the table. I mean, these people, they blatantly lie because they look at the public, and the Republicans are the same way. They feel like the public, the masses of the people
all
are
the Republicans
not
here in Chicago, for the record. They don't know,
they believe
all the Republicans
everything
in
that county.
They hear. There are no Republicans in Cook County, for the record. Come on, Fina, you know there's no Republicans in Cook County. Let's be for the record. There are no Republicans in Cook County. It's all Democrat, but keep it moving.
I'm not, but didn't you hear what I said? This fight,
I know,
right,
it's
here,
independent.
It's nonpartisan. All of them, they're the same animal. Democrats and Republicans, they're the same animal. Because as a matter of fact, Rahm, in order, this agenda that he's trying to bring here to Chicago, Tea Party people and Democrats, Republicans alike are involved in trying to privatize education all over the country. So this is a nonpartisan issue. All over the country, they're the same animal. So,
well,
as I said, I'm an independent voter.
No, what I'm trying to say is this, that in this one-party system, I just find it awkward and odd and funny here in Chicago, everybody. I don't know where y'all and everybody else in America, but in Chicago, it's a one-party system. Here in Cook County, it's a one-party system. Y'all know Republicans. And then that you meet your everyday average black person on the street or brown person on the street, and they like to jump on the Republicans. And if we're here in Chicago, it's the Democrats that slapped everybody around. Now it's the Democrats that are trying to bust up the unions, not the Republicans. But yet they jump on.
Oh, the Republicans are doing it too. They're doing it wherever they are. So don't give them a pass.
I'm saying is this.
They're
doing it too. All we're going to have Wisconsin here in Chicago. Go on there, Dana. Jump in anything on it.
The problem is that teachers, you got one of the most important professions that we have in this world.
Yeah.
One of the underappreciated professions that we have in this world. And it has nothing to do about what party you belong to. It has everything to do about that we, the fact that we as a society don't appreciate the
right
people who are educating our youth.
Right.
It's
absolutely.
That. They have the responsibility of educating every child, period.
That's right.
And they are not appreciated. Baseball players are signed on whether or not they play in one game or 100 for over, what, $30 million, $300 million? This is
with
not
no
the name
cap
of the dot line. And we got
no
teachers
cap
that have to leave work and go to a different job just to survive. There's something wrong with
that's
that.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And that's one of the hardest. Not to interrupt, but that's one of the hardest professors, man, because it's hard
ooh
to teach kids. That's the hardest thing on the planet, mostly. And we talk about the mothers that raise. We talk about mothers that raise kids themselves, but you talking about the teachers that's basically at the same time raising kids. You know, teaching them also. You know, as they go, that's man, that's heavy.
Absolutely.
And how do you teach
people to
book?
Well, tomorrow we're gonna have. Todd Steps, another member of the Union Boy. I hope we can get back on again, Miss Troy. And I think I'm trying to have somebody from Emmanuel's staff if they are going to let Ebony get through because they know how we're going to
have somebody lying on
You know, I'm a Republican. If people don't want to give us a little quote because me being a Republican, and you know, if they come and hit it with the Romney slide, they don't want to have touch me with a 10-foot pole because Romney endorsed. I was trying to get a balanced attack here, but, you know, Tara Stamps, my girl, you know, I went to school with her, so I'm trying to have her come also give me a little point of view and see what's standing on because I find it very interesting because on a Christmas day with Jesse Jackson Jr., Jesse Jackson, Bobby Rush, Danny Davis get together and say, oh, we're back in Carol Moseley Braun. Why? Because you can win, Danny, and we got to bring Rahm in. See, it's funny how the games people play put us in the situation that we are in today.
This situation has been going on for a long time. This is not no – the teachers have been underappreciated since education began. So it's not something that's happening right now, and it's not something that's just, you know, worse right now. It's the same.
Yeah.
It's laying on me all over again, man.
Oh. This is what the plan that's coming down with Rahm. He wants to close 100 more schools within the next 3 years. I mean, yeah, 100 more schools. So in closing these schools, of course, the teachers are going to be displaced. The kids are going to be piled even more into one classroom.
That's crazy.
He stated that a competent teacher should be able to handle 55 kids in one classroom.
And you go to the school that his kids are learning in, and they probably got one-on-one education.
Absolutely. At tops, they have maybe 15 kids in the class.
That's not right.
Absolutely.
Man.
That's not right. 55 kids in the class, those kids, and that's the problem that we've been having in public education. You put
all your life,
35
all your life.
Kids
about
in
it.
Kindergarten and first
oh, yeah,
grade and think they're going to learn how to read, and then by
and
third
don't
grade,
give them a book.
And don't give them a book. By third grade, you give them a test that you base building prisons on. You know what I'm saying? By third grade.
It's interesting because when I was in high school, even my grammar school, I'm still in high school. When I was high school, you know, I was in a building, and I'll be honest with you. I graduated with down almost, I can't tell you who's in my graduation class, really. You know? Like, you know, who, you know, and for granted, I took my kids, I sent my kids to, not for granted, I took education for granted, I sent my kids to my sons to Hales Franciscan, which is a small high school, and I look at his graduation class. He got a graduation class of like 20. And I'm like, man, you know, at least y'all going to know each other. At least y'all can be able to keep up with each other and see each other. If I go to a reunion, man, I don't know you. I mean, you know,
that's how I feel. I don't know half the people I graduated with.
So like, man,
that's
like 500,
you know?
Man, who are you? You know, hey, man, like, man,
right.
hey, you know.
So you graduated in such and such? Dang.
Right, you know, and it's like as if there's no, see, what they take from school is the community, the camaraderie, and by having so many students in the classroom and by making big warehouses for students. It takes away a whole lot because you can develop a community around a grammar school and a high school, even a chain connection, if the population of it was not so high. But what is the breaking? What is the tailback point? Well, I know this. I don't know if you probably can talk about it, but
I'm
happy.
Jimmy, the sad thing about it is the whole situation. It just keeps re-perpetuating itself because what happens is you take a kid that's uneducated. And then once they graduate, you know, they can't stay in school for so long. And so then they get pushed through the system. And then they're expected to get out here and find a job or go to college, but they don't have skills
right.
to make it.
That's right.
So then what do? They end up on the streets selling drugs and gangs, killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at them and say, well, why are you killing people? Well, I'm doing this kind of stuff. I'm in jail because I don't have any other choices.
But yeah, but jail is like,
it's
like.
I'm robbed because I'm trying to live. You know what I mean?
Like
so.
It's like they're creating the blueprint for it, man. It's like the blueprint already made for it, you know? Like,
yeah.
They know what's going on.
Absolutely.
But dealing with big business. But, Dan, let me ask you this question, Dana. Do you remember, do you know everybody that you graduated with in high school?
Of course not.
Okay.
And then now they want to double the class size. That's crazy.
Right. I just think, imagine that. When we was in school, you couldn't even, I could tell probably five or six people who I hung out with the most, maybe. But now I could tell everybody I would. And let me tell you, sitting in graduation, my son's graduation lasted about an hour, you know, and I can remember me and my graduation sitting there looking at the book, waiting. My name was T, waiting to get to the T's. You know, like, man. And I've been there forever. I mean, we graduated in Orchestra Hall. And I mean, for like 3 hours. 3 hours? I mean, like, Lord have mercy, it's too many people.
I know, right? And I was at the pavilion. I graduated at the pavilion, so you already know.
lot of controversy has kids in it.
You know, but that's why.
A lot of kids don't have 50 kids in it, so that's crazy.
That's right.
Yeah, 20 kids is like eighth grade, man.
Right. But let me ask you this question, Athena, since you are close to the spot. And again, tomorrow I'm supposed to have Ms. Tara Stamps and Mr. McDurgis from the union on tomorrow. But what is, in your opinion, the holding point that's stopping teachers from going back to work tomorrow?
Well, it's like, because as soon as the ink is dry on this contract, he has all intentions to close up schools for whatever reason. There was actually a school that was in the Hispanic neighborhood. It was kind of northwest, that 60% of their kids, which is really good, I think it was 65, something like that, their kids were doing well on the standardized test. They were meeting state standards and everything, and he turned that school around. So it's like it really does not even matter if you're doing well, because at the school I'm in, because we have to take kids from all over the South Side that weren't accepted into select enrollment schools or a certain type of charter schools or whatever. So we take one come all, and they're a lot of them may be 3 or 4 grade levels behind, but we've still been able to average a decent score on the ACT when they become juniors. I mean, just because of the hard work that we do as teachers in these schools, you know, none of that has been on the paper. 98% of our seniors graduated last year. You didn't see none of that. You know, the scores improved. You didn't see any of that, because there's an agenda in place that keeps this mantra of, oh, these kids are failing, they're killing each other, and it's so unfortunate because there are so many kids that are doing the right thing. They're going to school. I've had so many of my kids just hit me up on Facebook and saying I graduated, I got this degree, and you know what I'm saying? They're graduating from school. It's not all of them, but there's this concentration on the negativity that's taking place with this administration, because they want to come in and close these schools up and pile kids into classrooms. They don't want to pay teachers. They want us to make charter school teachers. They make between $30,000 in the city, $30,000, topped off at $45,000. And that's if you have years and years of experience. So you're basically, you're creating a cheap workforce for teachers, but you want them to get all kind of education and degrees, and the state requires us every before we get recertified to have a certain amount of hours, whether that be CPDUs or going back to get a master's program, et cetera. So you want us to continue to go back to school, but you don't want to pay us for nothing. You want to keep us in a – that's not even middle class making $30,000 a year.
Did you say
– might as well be a manager at McDonald's.
How much did you say teachers are making?
At the charter schools, they're making between $30,000 and $45,000 a year.
And what do they make in the regular school system? Is that high pay or is that low pay for teachers?
That's low paying. See, what the thing is, the teachers now that are in public schools, especially the veterans, they want to remove us because we cost too much in their eyes. They want to pay teachers that low amount, even though they require so much of them in terms of degrees. And we're in extreme debt trying to get
that
degrees.
Deep, huh?
Yeah, and so they want to get the teachers that's making 60 and above, because they want to get that off of their books. So what they do, they go into these schools and say, they starve the schools, they say they're failing, and then they come in and fire everybody and hire new, cheaper staff right out of college. And they even have the pipeline, Lewis University, they have a pipeline of kids who they require to sign paperwork saying that they would not ever strike against the Board of Education. So that pipeline has already been set up, and the agendas are already in place. That's why we have to fight. Otherwise, we won't even be here in the next 3 years.
School district in Evanston, excuse me, in Evergreen Park is thinking about striking. Another school is thinking,
Right. There's unions all over the country that are striking right now.
So let me ask you this question right now. Do you think now that Rahm could not deal with you all successfully and you all did walk out, that this will have repercussions on, let's say, the nurses' contract or the police and firemen contracts if they stood with you all at that rally?
Well, I know one thing, that the unions, especially the union president, what is the AFT, they're working very closely with our union because they understand the ramifications of what's happening here right now. It's like whatever the results of this strike is going to penetrate other unions throughout the nation because the agenda is the same. Rahm came here with, as a matter of fact, the minute he became mayor, he started talking about the shorter day. We got the shortest day in the country, which was a lie. It was a blatant lie. And the guy who he was working with, who was one of the so-called reformers, he even said that they made up the number from how long the kids were in school in Houston in order to put that agenda out there in the public, that we had this short day. And the only reason why the day was shortened is because they fired all the PE teachers and the art teachers and math and music teachers in the grammar school. It wasn't because of us. It's because they fired them, cutting the budget. Or they said they needed to, cut the budget, so they fired these particular positions. So you had our children in elementary school with no music teachers, no art teachers, and physical education. They cut that across the board, grammar school and high school. So now he comes in like he's really doing something, and he lost, by the way. He did not get his longer day that he keeps talking about, saying they successfully got a longer day. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They added 14 minutes to the high schools. And then in the grammar schools, all they did was they gave the teachers, the elementary teachers, a duty-free lunch of 45 minutes. And so they didn't extend the day. The teachers still worked the same hours. They just added a duty-free lunch period. So it appears as if this is a longer day. It's all.
Well, how about the fact that the athletic department, football, maybe your lacrosse, indoor soccer, your winter sport right now are not going to be able to participate because
Jimmy, I'm in season. I'm a volleyball coach.
Right.
My girls are right now. So we're missing out as well. I mean, I had to send them all a text yesterday to let them know when I found out that we were striking. I had to let them know that we were striking. I don't know what's going to happen with our season. And, you know, that breaks my heart. But this is something, you know, in order to create change, especially if you're fighting against the adversary that we're fighting against, there has to be sacrifices. There has to be sacrifices. Because
yeah.
This is for the betterment of their futures and the futures of their children. If we don't fight now, if we don't take a stand, the education as we know it, public education will be gone within the next 10 years.
Well, it seems like you got a lot of people and you, especially the union and stuff like that behind you. But this is how I see it being, you know, on the GOP side of things, really. I see that this is Wisconsin all over again. This is the union's last stand. And I see everyone from all around, everyone coming here and to make a last stand here. Now, the irony of the situation is you have the unions going against the Democrat, who the unions are naturally for the Democrats. Now, I'm sitting back and seeing how will this man masterfully guide himself through this, because he set himself up for failure by going to the state rep by trying to get a non-strike authorization of 75%, not knowing the climate of the teachers. If he only took a poll of the climate of the teachers, I doubt if he would have done that. Pulling the union, pulling the raises off the table for whatever reason he had to do that. And realizing that I can pull your raise, but you ain't going to strike. I got you where you want to do. I can tell your leader to go fuck herself. Excuse my language, gentlemen.
That's what he told her on several occasions.
Right. So now I would like to see the end result. Me being a GOP, Republican, all day long, let me tell you something. If I can get me being the president of Martin Luther King Republican, I'm going to ask my people out here to trip in some water, and we're going to come out there and give y'all some water straight up because, you know, we're moving on this because it's very interesting to see, quote-unquote, let me quote my man, Reverend Wright, the chickens that come home the roost. I ain't going to give that
right,
to
right.
I mean, I am not going to give that to Malcolm X right now. I'm giving it to my man, Reverend Wright, because it's interesting to see that when the Democratic Party backbone, they foot soldiers there, water carriers come and say, hold on, can we get some help? What's going on? And as a Democratic man, I'm going to disrespect you. The fact of the point of the matter is I got a door wide open that I let the enemy Romney come in and side with me, and he's supposed to be the chief person. What's really going on? It's in a whole lot. It's exposing so much that I'm very interested to see how it pans out and stuff like that. What are you trying to say, something, Dana?
Well, I mean, it's just really sad, and it's crazy. And you know, the true realization is that if you get rid of the union, it makes it easier to get rid of teachers.
Exactly. Right,
that's what I'm trying to say. It's a sticky situation that's been painted. Here you have the unions who give so heavily much to the Democratic Party, especially to Rahm, especially to Madigan, especially to Cullerton, especially to Quinn. And now when it comes time for assistance, they're saying, well, Black East, thank you for letting me in, but now you can't bury your dead no more. Now everybody powered up Cook County. Well, Doc, is you should be able to get that stuff that your boy Blagojevich gave you about the free teeth care. I got to cut back on that. Hey, seniors, that free bus ride I was giving you, well, kick the walking, old folks. Hit the walking. Because, you know, the Republicans don't care about old folks. I'm just saying, it's now no one paid attention to all of that. And I was trying to scream, look what the Democrats are doing to you. Nothing screams more louder of how the Democrats are playing the working class man as
the money thing. It's about money. It's a money.
Listen, I'm not saying what's it about. All politics, I got 6 minutes, everybody, but all politics are local. And I'm speaking locally here. When I talk to the average person locally, they want to scream D.C. I'm like, well, this is what's going on in Chi-Town, or Chi-Rack, as they want to call it now. Look what's going on in Chi-Rack here. You know what I'm saying? You got the Godfather Rahm telling you that go fuck yourself.
But this is a national agenda, though, Jimmy. This
is a national agenda. If it's a national agenda, is Rahm playing a part to eradicate it? And if Rahm playing a part, does that go to Obama? Again, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow I have Tar Stamps and
I appreciate it for a long time. You can't blame that on the president.
I'm not blaming nothing on the president, but he can't come out and speak a little JoJo like he did Trayvon. But the point I'm trying to say is that if his chief of staff is disrespecting the union, and the unions and the Democratic Party go hand in hand,
there's something wrong with that dude.
I agree with you. And listen, I got 4 minutes. I'm going to let y'all get your last minute out. But then here you have a man that was chairman of Barack Obama's reelection committee. Then he didn't have to get dropped. Then he was chairman of the PAC committee. Then he had to get dropped. And then you got Romney coming in saying, I agree with you, Rahm Emanuel. But that's all I'm going to deal with that. Tomorrow, they're going to have Charles Stamps on there. Before, let me give a goodbye out of the way. Go ahead, Daniel. Since you are regular, I got the two new people. Why don't you give you a shout-out? I got 4 minutes for my closing time.
I wish peace and love to everyone. And I hope that as we continue to talk about these issues, at some point somebody will realize that this is a much bigger problem than us. It's a big problem in society. Anytime you protect a basketball player and a football player or a baseball player more than you'll protect a child, a teacher, a parent, then it's something wrong. And so as a society, we really need to start rethinking about what our morals and principles are
and get them back on track and say, and realize that these are the future of this
world.
Stop
on his mic, Dana. All right, hey, Tariq, let me give you a little shout out. And anyway, shout out to everybody, you know, your goodbyes or what have you want to do before I close my show up in my last 3 minutes. And if you like, you can tune in tomorrow, too, though. Go ahead.
Definitely I will. And I'd like to say thank you for having me on here. Thank you for talking to you all. Give props to my family. And let people know everybody need to wake up because these are the end of days. They need to pay attention to what's going on because there's too much madness going on and the devil does exist. And I'm going to leave it like that.
All right, Afina, Troy, anything you'd like to say to everybody before we get your little closing remarks?
Well, I just hope that the community understands our fight and understand that this is just not about, it's not about money. You know, as a matter of fact, I would be one of those teachers that would be willing to say, would you all stop talking about money and let's get to what this is about. You know, this is about an agenda that is in place to basically destroy public education the way we know it. And I just hope that the community starts waking up and stop listening to these blurbs and these lies that these politicians and these board representatives are putting out here about our agenda because it's completely wrong. And they will not hesitate to blatantly lie about what's going on in terms of contract negotiations. So I'm just hoping that the community understands that they're coming for the teachers' union right now. They're going for the other unions as well. So if you're on a job and you have a union, trust me, you're next. So we
all right, listen, okay, listen. I got about just 90 seconds. Listen, everybody, tune in tomorrow. I have Tara Stamps coming in from the teachers' union. And Michael McDurgiff, McDurgiff also, thank you for listening again. We're going to try to get some more information on Lupe Fiasco and the JoJo and Chief Keef. And Wednesday, everybody, I'm going to have Wednesday, I'm going to do a flashback of the convention, and we go from that point on. And don't forget New Music Thursday, Jimmy's Underground Radio. What song take us out with, Evan? Let's go out and loop it.
Day.
Good night, may your God be with you.
Day. Nobody cares, but tomorrow they will. They will. Today. Nobody cares. Oh, tomorrow, they will,
they said my future is dark.
Good night, Dana. All right, good night, Afina Troy. I'm glad y'all been on. Good night, Tar. Thanks for tuning in.
Good night.
Later.
All right.
My energy, I be in outer space, but I got inner peace. So tell my enemies that they can't injure me. I know they irritate, you have my sympathies. Well, you should protest, yeah, you should pick at me. I'm on a losing strike, I'm on a winning streak. I'm out in